In your bulletin, you should find a sermon insert. We give that to you because, one, I flip around the passages kind of rapidly and gives you the chance to see some of the passages we may be referring to as we go. Write all over that, transfer the best notes to your Bible, and go through this. The MP3 is going to be hopefully recorded and online, so you can go through this more carefully in the days ahead. I have some terrible news that will alter your life as you've come to know it. Your brother in an eastern country has been arrested. His wife and his children are under great duress. Now, that's true. That's your brother I'm talking about today. If it happened, the scenario that you are in, if this happened to my brother, Jim Moss, twin, my life would be totally altered. If he's in some country somewhere, locked up in a prison, shipping crate, wherever, that would completely alter my life. And today we're going to be talking about balance in life. And I'm into happiness, and I'm into joy, and I'm into peace. I'm into all of that. But I'm also into crying. I did a lot of crying these last couple of weeks, remembering again, and this is a confession at the front end, Mac, I don't have a diet of this the way that I ought to. That's just a confession at the front end, okay? I'm way over my head, as I am on almost every Sunday, but I got Scripture, and I want to, my job each week is to draw our attention to Scripture and what Scripture teaches us about a balanced life. And in a balanced life, there is much joy and rejoicing. I can't think of a greater joy that's experienced on this planet than to do marriage and family and relationships and walk with God in a righteous way. Incredible joy and many blessings and much happiness. And we don't feel guilty for that. So many blessings from God. We rejoice in those things at the abundant hand of God. This is not a downer in regard to it. This is about balance today. Jesus was a man, and that's what today's about. Every day's about. Every Sunday's about. Every day is about. Every sermon is about. Every small group life. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and his heart hasn't changed because he's on this planet. And he's inside that brother that got arrested a few hours ago. And he's inside of you and me. And he guides us into great joy and a great peace. At the same time, he guides us into feeling his heart and to crying. I think if we're like Jesus daily, you be the judge of that as we go through some Scripture today. I have a brother. I really have a brother in North Korea who's been arrested. And most likely, three generations of his family are going to be picked up and put in a concentration camp for the rest of their lives. That's my brother in North Korea. I have a brother in Iraq. He was arrested. His future is unknown, and his family is again, under great duress. I have a brother in Afghanistan, Syria, Pakistan, Somalia, Eritrea. And Eritrea, he's in a shipping crate right now with an unknown future. That's my brother. And according to Open Doors, you have two websites on your bulletin, on one of the inserts in the bulletin. And there's other great websites. These are two that have checked out through the decades in a very good way. There's other great ones as well. According to Open Doors, I have over 100 million brothers and sisters and sons and daughters that are facing an uncertain future, that are facing great pain, that are facing persecution. And so, since my brother was taken a few hours ago, I have two questions at the front end. Many other questions come rushing into mind, but two at the front end. One is, why was my brother taken? Why was he arrested? Why did they break into his house and drag him off? Why did that happen? And two, what can I do? What can we do? And so that's the question before us. And you who are into counseling and that kind of thing, which I love you for it, you want balance in people's lives. You're trying to help me out with my state. I want to ask you, right, just the front end. This is kind of a preface. It's not in your bulletin. It's not in the sermon insert. But just thinking through this thing, I want to ask you, because I want an accurate goal to shoot for. What does a good Christian emotional life look like? Who's an example of that? Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ is. And he no doubt had joy and enjoyed many things, but he was known as a man. He would be identified 700 years. Isaiah wrote before this, Isaiah 53, that one of the ways you'll spot the Messiah, God in a body, God in humanness, one of the ways you'll spot him is he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We like him happy and playing with kids, and I'm sure he did that. But that wasn't given to us as a way to spot the Messiah. What was given to us before he came was, besides him being a man of righteousness and the like, is he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's odd. He's God. He knows everything. And he's, really? And I claim to want to be like him. Am I? Is that me? And so we got a guy named, one of the most popular guys in the New Testament, because he wrote a lot of letters, and he was a terrorist. And he inflicted terror into many, many, many Christians. And that was his goal in life. And then God regenerated his heart and he became a Christian. And so we have, I want to give you three just pieces of his writing. One is in the book of Romans, a letter he wrote to the church in Rome. And two are in 2 Corinthians, a letter he wrote to a church in Corinth in Greece. And in Romans, he writes this. I want you to again, look at the emotional state of this man. He says this in verse 2 of chapter 9 of Romans. I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. Unceasing grief, great sorrow. Well, is your life that bad? That didn't appear to be about his life so much. I could wish myself accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. In other words, he's living with this unceasing grief because of lost people, because of people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt near him and no doubt a long ways away from him. Do I know that unceasing grief? Of people near me and people abroad that don't know Jesus. Could I wish myself accursed in their place? Do I have an unceasing grief in my heart? Does that rip me up every day? Along with the great joys I experience. Second passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And he speaks about his own life. And he's pretty open about this, especially in 2 Corinthians, probably his most personal letter, if you want to read about Paul and his life. That's probably the best passage, best letter to read. He's very, very open in this letter about his own personal life. And he says this, verse 8 of chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, we don't want you to be unaware, brethren. And by the way, one of the things that we read from those who are persecuted in various countries is a willingness, an understanding, and a willingness to face the persecution that they're facing. But they, number one request, they want us to pray for them and for their ability to share the gospel. That seemed to be encompass most of Paul's prayers as well. That's interesting. But number two, they want other brothers and sisters to know about their state. And that's not wrong. God's wired us to need one another. And that's what our brothers and sisters that are in persecuted areas want us to understand, is to do the research, to know what they're going through, that they're not forgotten. And that impacts our prayer lives, the first request that they have. So verse 8, Paul says himself, he goes, I don't want you to be unaware of our affliction which came to us in Asia. Now he's writing to a church in Corinth, which is in Greece. And he's going, we went through Asia, and I want you to know what happened, what kind of affliction we endured there. That we were burdened excessively, even beyond our strength. We thought we were going to fall apart. So that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. Now, that's some pretty emotional, expressive language. He's not stoic and go, that's nothing. You know, I want you to know. And I want you to know, we despaired even of life on numerous occasions. And I want you all to know that so you can pray accordingly. And so we're looking at Paul, chapter 9 of Romans, an unceasing grief, a great sorrow for people that are lost. And then excessive pain and despair in his own life by facing very, very frightening and painful circumstances for sharing the gospel. And then passage number 3, which is the introduction to what we're looking at today. It's the topic for today. And Micah read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and he speaks about, verse 23 and following, things that he's gone through, and he expects more ahead, you know, going through 39 lashes 5 different times, stretched out and beaten with rods, rocks thrown at him until they thought he was dead, shipwrecked, times where he's facing the death sentence. And he says on top of that, labor, hardship, sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, without food, cold, exposure. And apart from these things, the daily. Now, Ron, my attention's focused on that word daily. Is that me? The daily pressure. Jonathan, my eyes are focused on pressure. Is that me? Do I have a daily pressure upon me of concern for, what's that next word? All the churches. At least that he knew about. And all of them, as far as we can tell, went through persecution from day number one. Daily concern for all the churches. Is this a balanced, healthy human being? Who's balanced, me or Paul? Who's really leading a spirit-led, biblically balanced life? Me or Paul? Who's really more Christ-like, me or Paul? And so I want to submit to you that Paul wasn't perfect, but he also was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, his own pain, as he shared the gospel, but pain for the lost and pain for the churches. And so think about that. Is this rational? I have an unceasing grief, Micah. I have an unceasing grief for people groups that have never heard about Jesus Christ. And so now I and my brothers are used to go to some of those people groups. They hear about Christ. They form a church. And now I have an unceasing grief for others in that area who haven't heard about Christ. Plus, now I also have a constant daily burden for the churches that are going through persecution that I was used to plant. Ron, is that balanced? Is that sane? And yet that's the Christian call. And so I want you to turn your attention to Jesus right now. Matthew chapter 10. We'll be in 3 passages in Matthew. This is in your handout. And since that wasn't in the bulletin, that all that stuff doesn't count on my time. Okay, we're going to start right now. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Jesus is talking to, in the whole chapter, he's talking to his 12 disciples, and in another passage, there'll be 70 disciples he's going to send out in a kind of like manner, but here he's talking to the 12, it seems like, and he's sending them out on a little short-term mission trip, and they're going to come back, but then as he's talking to them about their short-term mission trip, which is going to go kind of easy on them, comparatively very easy on them, he also kind of telescopes this thing into the future. And so he, as he does so, in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 10, these are this whole chapter is the word of Jesus to his disciples about going out and opening your mouths. Don't just live the gospel. Open your mouths. That's where you're going to get in trouble, is opening your mouth. Verse 16, behold, here's the plan. And again, the question is, we're looking at the front end. Why? It's the why question. Why was my brother picked up a few hours ago, arrested and taken away? Why? And obviously one answer to that is, well, there's a lot of bad people out there. And that's true. And that's back to, why did Cain kill Abel? 1 John chapter 3. Because Abel's deeds were righteous and Cain's deeds were evil. And evil attacks good. It's just a general principle in life. Okay, that's one reason. Another reason is the satanic, working through evil people to bring attack. So those two are pretty obvious. And along with that fallen nature, and that evil nature is obviously ethnic cleansing and all of that kind of stuff. And some of these folks are being attacked not so much for being Christians, but their ethnicity, and they happen to be Christians. And, you know, we get all of that. But the third reason that Jesus gives for why my brother was taken a few hours ago and arrested is this. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Here's the plan. This is before the ball game. Here's the plan. I'm setting you up right now, boys. I've been teaching you how to live life. And now I'm sending you out short-term mission trips. And here's the plan upcoming. I'm going to leave the planet. I'm leaving you with this plan. And Jesus lived this plan, by the way. He set the example first and foremost, and they saw him live this plan. I mean, could you imagine? You're God. You can do things on the planet any way you want to do things. And you come purposely to suffer? And then to die on a cross? I mean, you're God. Is that the plan? And the disciples couldn't buy the plan. That makes no sense. And so, here's the plan. Boys, I'm going to do that, but here's what I'm going to do through you. Behold, verse 16, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Anybody want to sign up for that? What does that look like? Sheep wandering away, going out into the jungle, into the forest, into other fields, going out, leaving the sheep gate and going out. That's the plan. Therefore, as you go out, be shrewd as serpents, but innocent as doves. Be smart. Don't just do stupid stuff to get yourself in trouble. But be innocent. When bad people do stuff to you, you do good stuff back to them. They're going to hate you. You're going to love them. They're going to try to kill you. You're going to sacrifice for them. Be innocent. Beware. This is part the smart part. You know, be alert. Be attuned. Be aware of men. They're going to deliver you up to the courts. Now, this didn't happen during Jesus' life in these short-term mission trips. This is telescoped down the road to our day, to later on in their lives as well. I'm going to beware of men. They will deliver you up to courts. They will scourge you in their synagogues. That means tie you up and beat you with whips. And you shall even be brought before kings and governors. So why are you going to be delivered over to the courts? God's sovereign. It doesn't have to happen. Why will you be delivered over to courts? Why will you be beaten by these persecutors? Why will you even appear before leadership of nations? Why? As a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. The third reason is not just bad people. It's not just satanic stuff working through bad people. The third reason why brother was picked up, according to this passage, a few hours ago, is to be a testimony of Christ-likeness and love and the gospel to evil people. That's why he was arrested. Now, if you're a guest here, you know, you wandered in, you go, oh, what's Christianity all about? I think I need a little more happiness. My life's kind of messed up. You know, I think I need a little more happiness in my life, you know, my marriage. And look, we're presenting what's balanced, okay? This is the essence of life itself. The word is love. That's the word. We're talking about a radical love that you haven't experienced. We're talking about Jesus filling our hearts with such a radical love that we're willing to sacrifice ourselves and our children for people who hate us. Christianity has never been touted anywhere in the Bible to be safe. Go inside the four walls, have some nice little programs for the kids. That's what it's become. But you can't find that in the Bible. Now, we're not purposely dangerous. Again, he says be wise. You know, so we're trying to make playgrounds and stuff that's safe, okay? We're trying to be safe. We do background checks on kids' workers. And, you know, we want to be wise and safe. But that's never been Christianity. That part is good. That's being wise. But just living the safe life, that's not. You know, we open our lives up in such a way, our hearts up in such a way that we purposely hurt for brothers and sisters that are being persecuted to the place of distress, and that we hurt greatly for our persecutors and for everybody who does not know Jesus as Savior and Lord. There's a pain. There's an unceasing grief in our heart. If that's what you want in your life, you know, friend, what I'm saying to you is right. And you can visit churches where everything's just all happy. It's all about you. It's about your happiness. Nice little, you know. Look at the Bible. Take any one of these books we're referring to, any book in the New Testament. Find me biblical Christianity. Look at the book of Acts. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John about Jesus' life. The book of Acts is about what the church did after Jesus went into heaven. They could have just started some nice little programs and done things in such a nice way where they were nice people. They never opened their mouth about Jesus because they were told not to. They were open their mouths. They're going to get in a lot of trouble. And just live it. Just live it. Just be nice. And you don't see that at all. You see them, they can't stop speaking what they've seen and heard. Therefore, and they need to spread that message around the entire globe to every people group. There's an insatiable drive to do that. And as they do that, wherever they spread the gospel, those people will be hated to some degree or another. That's Christianity. So if you come here to check out Christianity, that might be a slightly different version. But again, you'll find that in every book of the New Testament. And I think the Old Testament bears it out as well. So that's the plan. Matthew chapter 10, I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. You're going to be arrested. You're going to be beaten up. You're going to be scourged. Why? As a testimony to them and to all the nations, the Gentiles, plural, all the ethnic groups. It's going to happen not just to before the Jews, all the ethnic groups. When they deliver you up, don't be anxious. I will speak through you. And that's our great prayer, Marcy. That's our great prayer for our persecuted brothers and sisters. You all preach this all the time. The great prayer is, may God speak through us, a clarity in the gospel. And may Jesus Christ come shining through us as we're being abused. That's just the redundant. When you go to these sites, about the persecuted church, that's just redundant. All the way through, that's their request. And that's what Jesus' plan is. As you're being beaten up, as you're being tortured, that you're able to share the word, you're able to share the gospel, and that's a powerful gospel witness because it's not normal for people to love their persecutors. That's just not normal, okay? And he goes on to say, brother will deliver a brother to death. That's going on in many countries today. A father will deliver up his child. Children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You'll be hated, listen, by all nations on account of me. You'll be hated by everybody on account of my name. Continue to endure, you'll be saved. That's the plan. You'll be hated by all on account of me. I think he's talking about all the various people groups. And but if you can turn your attention now to verse 34, I don't think it's in your bulletin. He says, you know, don't get duped. Don't think I came to bring peace to the earth. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Okay, where there's going to be divisions in households and in communities. Don't worry about it. Take up your cross. Follow me. Lay down your life. That's the plan. Lay down your lives for your enemies. Wow. Okay. Matthew 24, flipping ahead in your Bible a little bit, or this is also in your bulletin, looking at this plan and what our heart should be and our practice should be in relation to it. That's the next question. But first of all, looking at this plan, we're talking about why. And the reason my brother was arrested a few hours ago is because of an eternal plan for him to be a witness, a testimony to evil people. Matthew 24, and this thing is about verse 4, make sure people don't mislead you about what's coming down the pike. Verse 9, they're going to deliver you in the course of time, through this New Testament age, they will deliver you to tribulation, they will kill you, you'll be hated by all the ethnic groups on account of my name, all the ethnic groups, plural, on account of my name. That's what's coming down the pike. It's my plan. Once you're going to be hated by all of them. Why? So you can be a testimony to them. And he goes on to talk about false prophets and false leaders and all that kind of stuff, making the easy way, you know, make Christianity easy. And verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a witness to all the ethne, and then the end will come. You're going to be hated by everybody? Preach the gospel anyway. And you're going to be picked up and arrested and abused? Preach the gospel anyway. Know as you go, the eternal plan is you'll be a testimony to them. So the marching orders at the end of the book of Matthew, the end of Jesus' life before he goes back up into heaven, we call this the Great Commission. This is in Matthew 28. This is also in your bulletin, I believe. And verse 18, I have all authority. I'm in control. Never doubt that. Verse 19, but you know the point is we can doubt it because if you're in control, why was my brother picked up last night a few hours ago? If you're in control. No, I am in control. It's part of my plan. Just know that as you go out or send others out. Verse 19, therefore, because I have all authority and my plan's going to be carried out, every ethnic group will hear and will hate you and will persecute you, and you'll be a testimony to every ethnic group. Verse 19, therefore, make disciples, make students of all the ethnic groups, baptize them, teach them, I am with you. That's the plan. There it is. I don't know how to make it any more clear than that. How was the plan lived out? You turn your attention to the history of the early church after Jesus went back into heaven. Matthew is about the life of Jesus. Mark is, Luke is, John is. And then if you want to read about what happened on the planet after Jesus went back into heaven, this is 2,000 years ago after he went back into heaven, then you read the book of Acts. It's the history book of the early church, and all the rest of the New Testament kind of fits into some time frame in the book of Acts, or shortly thereafter. And so we have Acts chapter 4, and we have the church, some of the leaders in the church arrested, and they're told never to talk about Jesus again. They go back to their church family, which the church is in one place at this time. That's in Jerusalem, the place of the empty grave. And they come back, and their words are, verse 28 of chapter 4 of Acts, the folks, the Gentiles, the Jewish leadership, all the governments, all the thug gangs, they do only whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. That's all I can do. Therefore, take note of their threats. In other words, if we open our mouths anymore, we can live the Christian life, but if we open our mouths anymore, we're going to get hurt really bad. Take note of those threats and grant that your bondservants, we can speak your word with confidence. They told us not to talk about you. Help us to speak your word with confidence. We're a little afraid. Help us. Wow. And they went out and they spoke the word with boldness. God was with them. Next chapter, chapter 5. They're arrested again. They appear before the Supreme Court. And they say to that Supreme Court that killed Jesus in Jerusalem, when they're challenged about, hey, we told you not to talk about Jesus anymore, and you keep talking about him throughout the city. And they said, we must obey God rather than men. We got no choice. He is the one that brings salvation. We have no choice because we love God and because we love lost people. we have to continue to speak no matter what happens to us. And so they talked about it for a while. They wanted to kill him, but then another guy kind of interrupted. God used the guy. And so what they did is verse 40 of chapter 5, they flogged them. That means stretching them out and lacerating them, their backs with whips. This would be the pastors of the church. And ordered them not to talk about Jesus anymore publicly, as if that would do some good. But this time, again, they did beat them hard. And they released them from the presence of the council. When they did that, verse 41, I want you to check this out. This is the mindset of the early church. These are our forefathers. This is their mindset. This is the mindset of so many that are incarcerated today. And I hope my brother that got picked up a few hours ago. So they went away from the presence of the council, rejoicing. And again, they're a mess. They won't be able to put a shirt on for weeks. It'll just wouldn't stick to their back. And their front side. Two on the back, one on the front, 39 lashes. Rejoicing they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. They had been considered worthy by who? By God. They were selected to be a testimony to those leaders. They were considered worthy to be a testimony to those leaders. And in doing so, they suffered shame. And from that day forward, every day in the temple, house to house, right there in Jerusalem, they kept teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. What kind of mindset is this? And so we see the plan of God understood and now realized and lived out. Acts chapter 7, verse 51, Stephen is now before that same Supreme Court, and these folks are really ticked off at this point. And Stephen says to them, by the way, which one, as he's on trial, which one of the prophets did our fathers not persecute? It's just the way it was the way it was in the Old Testament. It's the way it is today. God's plan hasn't changed. And you read Hebrews chapter 11, great read. Men of whom the world was not worthy were killed and tortured and beaten. Old Testament, New Testament's the same way. Acts chapter 14, verse 21, as they're going around now, this is a number of years later, and Paul and company are going out, not that much later, just a little bit later. They're going out and they're planting churches in different areas. They're in Turkey in Acts chapter 14, this one missionary team. And as they come back through the churches that had been planted, they share these words. This was the summation of their message. Now you think my message is hard today, and like who's that guy, man? What's, you know? This was their parting. This is the summary, the Reader's Digest version of their parting messages to the early churches in Turkey that were planted. This is a summation. Through many, this is verse 22 of Acts chapter 14, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Jimmy, what kind of a parting message is that? Jeff, what do you do with that? That's the part. You know, it wasn't, hey, be happy. Everything's going to work out great. Wouldn't that be a better, you know? And everything will work out great. And so the plan is realized and lived out. And you can go letter to letter, if you haven't done so. The book of Thessalonians, we went through that First and Second Thessalonians not too long ago. And you can see there references to persecution going on and Paul building them up for hanging in there during these sufferings and these persecutions that are taking place throughout every church in the globe, from Judea all the way through where they are in Greece as the gospel continues to spread. So we have these words from Paul to Timothy. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1. Is this in your bulletin? I don't think this is in your bulletin. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. You know, I think it's pretty evident that we're doing a twofer, okay? I think it's pretty evident. I didn't know how the day was going to go down, and I'm going to be real personal here in a moment, actually very quickly here in a moment, because I want to give you all time to pray in the small groups and all. But to get into that, just kind of bearing my heart before you, want to kind of close this down. Next time we'll talk about, so what do we do? Today was more the why, and with the why, what should I be feeling? What should be the drive? What is normal, healthy, and good inside of me? Which sets up the teaching next week. Next week we're going to be real practical. These are things we can do. But now, is my heart right? That's the big question. Is my heart right? If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. We just read that a few weeks ago as we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. Am I suffering? Have I suffered today as my mind was on the appropriate things, not a self-absorbed life, but brothers and sisters around the world, lost people? And again, happy things. Look, some of y'all on our vacation, have a blast. If we can help you have a blast, you got our cell numbers. We want to help you have a blast while you're here. Vacations are great. But overall in life, is there the appropriate balance? Okay? And so let me shut down, kind of try to bring this thing in for a landing with this passage. 2 Timothy chapter 1, here's the plan. Again, we just restate it again. Paul is, who we talked about, an ex-terrorist, is writing to a disciple, a student of his, that he was mentoring, a guy named Timothy. And in his second letter to Timothy, which we believe was his very last letter that he wrote while on the planet, he's incarcerated at this time, by the way, in Rome, and probably shortly after penning this letter, he's going to be put to death, best we can understand. Okay? So he writes this letter with that understanding, and he says to Timothy, the plan isn't working well. We just need to go the happy direction. Okay, make people feel good about themselves and just live the life and then don't talk about it anymore. Because we're all getting beat up. Is that what he says? That's not what he says. He says these words. Verse 8, Tim, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. What does that mean? A Jewish carpenter who became a street person who was hung on a cross, who was beaten, emaciated, humiliated, and hung on a cross. Don't be ashamed of that testimony. Most powerful thing that ever happened on the planet. Don't be ashamed of that testimony, because we're going around talking about a Jewish carpenter who was hung on a cross that really did bear the penalty of our sin on his body. He really was God in humanness. Don't be ashamed of that in God's way of doing things. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. You know, I'm your teacher, and I'm locked up in prison right now facing the death sentence, which is going to happen shortly. And Paul seems to know that in this letter. But Tim, join with me in suffering for the gospel. How am I to live that out? Tim was to live that out by continuing to witness. And people would give him a hard time. How am I to live that out? I don't get a whole lot here. No matter who I witness to, you get some people who don't like you and want to kill you and that kind of stuff. But it's not that many. It's not that bad, okay? Because they're not going to actually kill you, probably. Okay? That's a normal life, and it's not that bad. But in other countries, they can, okay? And so part of the suffering is identifying and connecting our hearts through study on these two great websites we gave to you and others with brothers and sisters that have been picked up recently. Join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. In other words, suffering is not, you know, usurping the power of God in some way. It's according to, it's in line with the power of God. This God saved us, Tim. This God called us with a holy calling. That means a special calling, a calling where we're set apart from just a mundane, self-absorbed, boring life to a life of ministry and sacrifice for our enemies. Not according to our works. It wasn't because of anything, Tim, you did or me. We weren't anything special. But according to his own purpose and grace. He called us because that's what he chose to do. He showed us grace. We were dead. He made us alive. We were dead spiritually. We didn't care about God. He made us alive. If that hasn't happened in your heart, cry out to him that might happen. Which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Tim, why am I being persecuted? Why are you going to be persecuted? Why are people, our brothers and sisters, persecuted? It's part of an eternal plan. Listen now, from all eternity past. God's revealed the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Jesus abolished death, brought to life, to light, immortality. Let me read that again. Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. Listen now. For this reason, there's a reason I suffer these things. What? It's an eternal plan of God. I'm suffering for this reason. It's part of an eternal plan of God that I might be a testimony to people who hate me. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know whom I believed in. I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. And he goes on in this letter to say, Tim, here's the way it is. All, this is chapter 3, verse 12. Everybody who lives godly, in other words, Christ-like, in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ, will be persecuted. There are no exceptions to that. Some more, much more severely than others, but there's no exception to that. And so sometimes we have the question, bringing in a kind of a second application, much less than the primary application, well, why is God allowing these people at work to give me such a hard time about being a Christian? Why is God allowing my family to just really next to ostracize me for being a Christian? Well, there's evil people. There's the satanic. But listen now. I guarantee you this. You're being hurt by other people because it's part of the eternal plan of God that you might be a testimony to them. Oh, it's one thing to share the gospel and everything's happy. It's another thing to continue to love and share in the face of hate. Talking about our testimony being ramped up to a power level way beyond anything we can imagine. How it happens is when God allows other people to hate us, even close family members, some of you children, when you continue to love in a Christ-like way, your witness is ramped way beyond anything that you ever planned out. And it's part of an eternal plan of God. Why was my brother taken and arrested, taken away a number of hours ago, and his wife and family are in duress? It's part of an eternal plan of God. Now, I don't just sit back and philosophize about that and go, well, I'm glad I got that figured out. No, in that, and this is a setup for next week, in that there's a drive to now go, I'm also part of the eternal plan. I have a part in helping him and helping his family with this amazing witness that God has deemed him worthy to suffer. And so the question that's set up next week is, now, what's my part? What's our part in that plan? Go through the sermon. Try to see if you can fill in the blanks. Go to these websites. Get your heart ready. And we're going to be really, really practical next week. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Micah, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the amazing grace that we enjoy. What a blow away that you interrupted my life. And what a blow away that you call me and you call us into this ministry. Thank you so much for grace. Jesus, thank you for dying on that cross in my place and the place of everybody here who would come to a point by your power and enlightenment to trust you as Savior and Lord. Thank you for new birth, regenerating human evil hearts like mine and guiding us to fall in love with you. And to grow a love relationship with you. I'm going to speak for the group. I'll speak for me. This is not the plan I would have come up with. I don't like pain. Like, I don't like pain at all. Like, any pain. And yet, I do want to be Christ-like. We do want to be Christ-like. We do want to be a powerful witness and testimony to others, and we want to be part of our brothers and sisters around the globe that are facing unthinkable pain and uncertainty. and duress. And so it is part of your plan. Guide us in our part. We want to live in our personal lives this plan to the hilt and trust you in it. And we want to be part of and partner with brothers and sisters around this globe to bless them, to help them as they have been deemed worthy to be this kind of a powerful witness to their persecutors. Guide us in our part. Prepare our hearts for learning our part. Thank you for great, great grace. Amen. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, you're not really sure how that goes down, please come down. We'll have male and female leaders watching for you. We've got to kind of walk you through how to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you want a prayer for anything in your life, come on down. If you want just like a good hug, or if you want to join this church, or just anything, you just want to talk to somebody about something, we have leaders, male and female, that'll be watching for you. We do encourage you to go to small groups following this time and prepare your heart to join them in prayer, plus whatever lesson they had planned. It would be good for us, Micah, to... actually, you know what? Let's just hold off on a song today because we're taken away from small group time anyway. So I appreciate your willingness, brother. You're amazing. But let's just hold off on that time. We're just going to make it this simple. This area is open. I'm going to pronounce the benediction. And as I do so, the blessing, you know, as I do so, please come down and join us here. Apologize for going a little bit over again, you know, I don't know. Anyway, one day, we're going to nail it one day. Mac, we're going to nail it one day, all right? Y'all are great. I love you all so much. Thank you for grace. I also mentioned I'm going to be really personal with you. I'll do that at the beginning of next sermon, if I remember. Hopefully I will. And again, I'm watching the clock go, and I'm out of time. So God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing. This area is open.